It turned itself back off.
Good afternoon. I'm between you and the party. So, you know, what do you do? I've got the dubious honor to present the only Visio session during TechEd. So I'm kind of assuming that everyone here in the room has either some interest in Visio or business process modeling. So Visio? Business process modeling? But? Yeah? Good. Excellent. I'm the virtual TSP for Visio in Australia. That means technically I help out the sales guys whenever they get the hard questions. So usually they're on the phone all the time, and I speak to a lot of customers about what to do with Visio. And I've got a specific focus on business process modeling, because recently I've done about 3 business process visualization projects with clients, and that was the reason why we thought of this session being a good thing to share with you guys, sort of the pitfalls and the opportunities that are there when it comes to using Visio and SharePoint. So a lot of what I'm going to show is on the SharePoint side of the fence as well. Who's familiar with SharePoint development? Okay. And of those people, who's familiar with Visio as well? Who's already using Visio and Visio services? Okay, only a few. Good. So I'll if you don't mind, the 2 or 3 of you who've already seen it, I'll try to cover those basics as well, because I think you sort of need the full background to appreciate the whole story. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to have a look at the bits and pieces that we use in the business to build business process visualization solutions using Visio and SharePoint. By the way, I'm also 3 years, I've been awarded the SharePoint MVP for 3 years in a row, and I've now made the move to Visio. So that's sort of where I come from and why I'm so keen to make this marriage between Visio and SharePoint work. Okay. So, a little bit about what drives me to do this type of stuff, and what you'll get out of that, the results you can expect, the opportunities and the limitations, I guess. Then, what it is we're actually trying to build, and then I'll show you some pieces on how to do stuff. Now, how to do is largely dependent on you guys as well. I'd like this to be interactive, and I've really prepared it to be a demo-rich session, and just me trying to share my experiences with you guys. So if you see me doing stuff and you want me to do it again, yell out. If you see me doing stuff and you go, but how about this or that, please yell out and interact with me so I can basically go into a bit of detail where you guys think you need it. Okay, so that's sort of the aim for my session, from my perspective. But first, I came across this one. Where is it? Now I've closed it. Here it is. Let me just share this one with you first. You gotta watch closely, it goes really fast.
Once upon a time, there was a girl who was fair and beautiful. Her mother died and her father remarried, so she got a stepmother and 2 stepsisters who from now on called her Cinderella. One day, the prince invited all the young women living in his country to a ball in a castle in order to find himself a wife. The stepmother and her daughters dressed up immediately. Cinderella asked her stepmother to go as well, but the stepmother threw lentils into the ashes and commanded Cinderella to sort them out. If she succeeded... quickly, she would be allowed to go to the ball. Soon, Cinderella...
I don't know, use the internet.
...summoned pigeons who came and helped her select the lentils. The good in the pot, the bad for the pigeons. But the stepmother still didn't allow her to go, because... Cinderella did not have a bonus. So sadly, Cinderella remained behind. A dove brought her a fine dress, and Cinderella happily hurried to the ball. There she danced only with the prince. Because she didn't want to be recognized, she fled and lost her left slipper, which the prince found. Whereupon he announced he would marry... marry the girl to whom the slipper belonged. All the girl.
I couldn't download the video, so.
Even the stepsisters tried on the slipper, since the slipper was too small. Each chopped off a piece of her foot and presented herself, but the blood revealed the deception. In the end, the slipper was a perfect fit only for Cinderella, and so Cinderella and the prince celebrated their wedding and lived happily
ever after. Okay, ever after.
Ever after.
Oops, it'll keep doing that, I think. Oh, let me just get out of here. I'm sorry I couldn't download it, but yeah. Seeing is understanding. A picture paints a thousand words, etc., 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 right? You can quickly tell a story using using Visio diagrams. But you probably already know that because that's why you're using Visio. And I think what's interesting about the business process modeling solutions and if you bring stuff into a SharePoint environment, you can add the context to your diagrams. So 9 out of 10 that I've seen so far where people say, oh, we use Visio for business process modeling and all that stuff. It's all good and well, but it's just pretty pictures. At the end of the day, they typically they build their diagrams so that they easily print on an A3. That says enough, right? It's just a consistent way to print pretty pictures and try to standardize that a little bit. What's interesting in 2010 is, first of all, obviously a rich set of features that that Microsoft has added to 2010, and in the context of business process visualization, it's the standard business process notation, the BPMN templates, the Six Sigma templates, those types of things that that have been added. The other thing that's important in this conversation is you can model your SharePoint workflows in Visio if you want, and then publish them through SharePoint Designer, code it up, and publish them to a SharePoint environment. So it becomes a round-trip design and development tool, if you will. And of course, the validation of your diagrams. So there's an extensible rules engine inside Visio now that allow you to build your own rules to validate your diagrams. So that really takes it to the next level. It's not just a pretty picture that uses the same shapes. You can also validate that what you're doing is okay with the rules that you devise in your organization. So those are just some of the things that relate to business process modeling in Visio 2010. Last year we've done a whole show about all the productivity features that we've added. So no sense in repeating that again. Who was here last year, by the way? Only a few. So I might just use a few. The other thing that's extremely important and what really triggered my interest in Visio is the introduction of Visio Services. So Visio Services is a service application that's sitting in your SharePoint environment if you've got an enterprise edition of SharePoint. And that allows you to publish your Visio diagrams into your SharePoint environment. And from that moment on, users can use your diagrams through the browser and interact with the diagrams. And I think that's a very important thing to understand. It's not just that pretty picture. It's not just something that displays nicely on the screen. It is something users can interact with and that you can use to build almost applications around, for example, a business process model. And business process modeling is obviously just an example of the many things you can do. One of the other things that Microsoft does out of the box, for example, is in System Sensors Operation Manager, they actually use it to visualize the components of a network and indicate whether or not servers are online or need to be backed up and all that type of stuff, right? So an important aspect of that is the ability to connect to data as well, back-end data, and surface that information in the context of your diagram. So we've got interaction and context in our diagram, and that's the important thing to realize here. All right? And I'll show you how that works. Okay. The other thing is more of a, and the stars align. A lot of organizations seem to be in that phase where they're looking carefully at their processes trying to find opportunities to improve those processes, and then design new processes and need to share that with people in the organization to collaborate on the 2B version of the process. So a business process management system, if you will, built using Visio and SharePoint, can go a long way in helping you realize that goal of collaboration on business processes, right? So that's an interesting aspect of it as well. Now, I'm not saying, oh, you built your end-to-end business process modeling system completely using Visio and SharePoint. There's definitely enterprise solutions out there that do a hell of a job. This sits in the category where organizations do want to get serious about business process visualization and share it with the organization, but are not really in that enterprise architecture space. So they don't want to spend their $2 million a year in licenses. Right? So that's where this fits, okay? So if you're not interested, now's the time to... you're all interested. Excellent. Okay, so a little bit about the types of things that we've been doing. So one of my clients in Sydney wanted to add business process visualization to their intranet solution. So the goal there is basically, and it stems from a case study that I've done with Visio and SharePoint 2010, even before 2010 was released, where I worked with John Holland. That's a public case study. And the statement there was people seem to be aware of the processes, but the execution or the business understands the processes, that they document their processes using process maps and using policies and procedures, but the actual business people don't really have good access to those models, can't really find what they need, and they lack the context. They don't understand how those processes affect their role or the steps in the process, who they influence or who they're dependent on. So it's that whole context again, which is important, and that's what we're trying to tackle by publishing this stuff into an intranet solution and making it accessible to the entire organization, and make it fit in with the information architecture that's already there in the intranet, tie it into the policies and procedures and all the documents that are around your business processes. And occasionally, guess what? Some of these process steps are even forms that you need to fill out, your traditional leave request form or all those types of things. There's another way of using that interaction, because you can actually set hyperlinks on your shapes. When you click the shape, it actually opens the form, right? So that whole sort of end-to-end visualization is an important aspect of what I'm gonna show you today. Another important aspect, I think, which we can tackle when we do these things anyway, is use some kind of standard. And business process modeling notation is a good one to start with, because it's a simple set of shapes that everybody understands. And version 1.2 is a new template that is now available in Visio 2010. If you're keen on looking at version 2, there's two or three third parties that give you Visio templates for BPMN 2.0. Microsoft doesn't have them out of the box at this stage. Okay. The other thing is improvement. Obviously, we can start mapping, and business analysts can look at these processes and take the business users on a journey and think about how things can change. But a lot of the change might also come from the business itself. They look at the process and go, "Oh, wait a minute, that's not how I do my job. That's not how it works." Or I can do this much more effectively if. So why not use this visualization as a point of interaction with the owner of the process? So an important thing for us was to say, okay, let's look at the metadata of these processes and make sure that we assign process owners, that we use SharePoint and the user profiles to actually provide all the information about these people using these fancy presence indicators and pictures and everything else. And maybe in the background allow a few links to provide feedback. So you can submit feedback on a process, or you can request a change on a process. and see the status. So again, it's all about this. It all comes together in the visualization, and it provides the context. So let's have a look what that could look like. Now, hands up who hasn't seen a SharePoint site before. Okay, all good. Oh, that's a tricky one. I'm going to assume a certain familiarity with SharePoint. This is an out-of-the-box SharePoint site, right? So it's just a site that I created. When you create a SharePoint site, if you create a team site or any of the other site templates, you typically get a document library and some lists to go with that site and that type of stuff. And that's the first thing you need to look at, I guess, when you're thinking about a business process visualization solution. What is my information architecture for that bit going to look like? How is that going to sit in my entire environment? So it could be a standalone thing, where you're going to look at it completely separate, or it could be completely integrated with the intranet. In many cases, the intranet is also used for document management, or at least searching for documents and those types of things. So you also need to think about, how am I going to bring my policies and procedures into this environment, and those types of questions. And there's no right or wrong there. There's many ways to do it, I guess. And it's a matter of what your information needs are, how many policies and procedures are there, are they all in the context of the business processes? Do they need to be stored in what some of my clients call a proper document management system or not? And is it just a copy in SharePoint or even just a link? So there's all kinds of choices that you need to make. If none of that is really important to you and you go, no, we'd like to make the most out of SharePoint, the sort of common way that I've found very almost low-hanging fruit for organizations and that really demonstrates the capabilities of SharePoint in a broad sense is using a site as the process repository and then using document sets, which is a new concept in SharePoint, as the container for all of the documents that relate to a particular business process. Okay? So who hasn't heard of a document set? Okay, that's good. Excellent. So a document set, for those of you who are unclear, is just like a folder in a file share environment, but a folder with extra capabilities. And the extra capabilities typically are metadata and behaviors, workflows and those types of things. And you can store these things inside of SharePoint. The other thing that a document set has is visualization. So just assuming you've thought about the site and where you're going to store stuff, here's a document set of process PM001. Some of my clients like to codify everything, right? And this is an example of what a user could see. And now, please excuse me, I can't use the actual visual diagrams and those types of stuff. You'll see some ones that look pretty. For this demo, I've used some very simple ones just to get the message across. But what's important is that this has got all these components, right? It is a document set. It's got a visualization. So it shows exactly those things that are relevant in a document set. It shows the documents, the content, underneath here. On a real screen, if you don't have to present, it actually is quite reasonable, right? So it shows your documents that are living in that set and allows users to manage that. But more importantly, it also shows the metadata that we've been talking about. So in this case, it says here contact position. That's actually the business process owner in this case, right? It could show the next review date and those types of things. Whatever type of metadata you've got defined, obviously. And over here, we've got some links to provide that interaction, request a change request, provide feedback. Obviously, you do that in your SharePoint environment using a workflow, so that you can actually assign a task and keep track of what's happening there. It's not just a, let's just request some feedback and there's an email and nobody ever really takes notice. Do it as a workflow so that you can start tracking and monitoring what's going on. And what's obviously Visio here is this component here. So this is actually an example of a Visio diagram that is hosted in a SharePoint web part and displayed using the XAML rendering that Visio Services provides. Right? Now, you don't see any of that. That's why I clicked on it. If you click on it, there's a slight border showing there. I basically turned off all the Chrome on the web part, so you don't see the title, you don't see open in Visio or refresh or any of that stuff to get that look and feel that just looks like it's all one component. But it is just a SharePoint web part page that you can completely modify. Okay, so that's an important one to grasp. Once you start dealing with document sets and you bring all of your policies and procedures and forms into that context, you've actually got a visual surface for that, which is the document set welcome page, which is a SharePoint web part page, so it allows full customization. Okay? Good. Another thing that is important is how we're gonna find the information that we're looking for. So a typical conversation that we have with clients when it comes to business process management is, okay, how do these processes relate? So there's always a hierarchy. They start at what they call a level one, which is just a very high level of categorization of their business processes. And then they drill into the level one, and then they drill into the detailed levels, and all of a sudden there's within the BPMN notation there's this at level three you're talking about tasks, and I'm not going in there. I've got my people to deal with that, who understand business process modeling better than I do. But there's levels, and you need to find a way to visualize that as well. Now, that's another thing that again is what I think is a really low-hanging fruit, because if you have to code at all and if you have to find custom solutions, that can be quite a bit of work. But SharePoint has this concept of a taxonomy, and you'll see an example of that here. These are just a few that I've activated here by default. But the business And these hierarchies can be completely owned by the business. So the business owners that manage the business processes can actually set up their own hierarchies and then assign the documents into that hierarchy, so that you can use that as a navigation, and when you click one of the leaves, it filters the content of your document library to whatever is relevant. So SharePoint taxonomy is a really good way to create a navigation hierarchy for your business process, tree. The other way to navigate, obviously, is Visio itself, right? So, if we go back to this page here, Visio diagrams are Office documents, Open XML documents, and within the diagrams, you've got pages, and what you can do within Visio is you can actually say, when I click this sub-process here, please navigate to the next page, which is the detail diagram for that particular step. And that's another way to build your hierarchy. And if you do that inside of Visio, it will navigate inside of this web part as well, right? So I haven't turned this on here on this diagram, but that's a way to do it. Okay, so those are the types of solutions that we're looking at here. Any questions so far? Good stuff, or yeah? Excellent. Okay. This is basically the same image, which is interesting. I think for business people, that whole screen that you just saw, the management of these business process artifacts in SharePoint can be challenging, to say the least. You have to understand SharePoint to a certain degree to actually understand the concept of, okay, I've got a document set, and if I want to add a form to that document set, I actually have to go into that document set and upload a document or add a document to that document set and that type of stuff. So you really have to understand SharePoint. The other thing is you have to know where that business process repository is and what templates to use, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's not necessarily a bad thing. That with that knowledge comes a lot of power, and you can do a lot of good stuff. But often, business analysts or business owners that deal with these business processes don't really want to deal with that complexity, but they do know Visio very well. So the way we've looked at that is by extending Visio. So this is just a template. Don't get hung up on what that diagram looks like. But what we've done is we've added a tab here, and that allows people to do their stuff. So it allows people to select where these business process models live. It allows people to, and this is a, apologies for the simple example, it allows people to right-click on a shape and go into the metadata dialog, which would be all the metadata for that particular process step. Those types of things. It allows people to copy models, to say, okay, I've got one model, that's the as-is model. Now we're going to work on the 2B model, so I'll need to clone the as-is model to be the 2B model, and then start modifying that, right? Because you don't want to start from scratch. So think about it, right? Because we're storing everything in a document set, and there's all kinds of documents associated with a model. That's why I use the term model, not map. There's all these things associated with a process model. It's actually challenging. You have to know SharePoint really well to be able to copy a document set and all its content and go through that whole cloning process. So what we've done is we've given them a little UI and some code behind the scenes that actually does that. So effectively, the business process owners and the business analysts they're working with when they're building that model should be able to do all their work from inside Visio, right? And they don't have to think about where they store stuff or all that type of complexity. They just press save and it just happens. Okay, because remember, Visio is just another Office application. So when I click Save As, you get this complex way of doing stuff, and with the complex way you get the power. You can put it whatever you like, but that's not necessarily a good thing, right? So think about how you're going to handle that, and we're gonna have a bit of a conversation about how you built this type of UI. The other thing we do is we actually extend the backstage view. So just like we had the business process owner and an extra view date and those types of things on the document set sitting in SharePoint, you can render that in Visio as well by extending the backstage view, as Microsoft calls it, and bringing in that information that is model based all into this integrated user experience. Make sense? Okay. Not too many yes, but no but. You all want to see how you do these things? This good stuff? Okay. So extending the ribbon, and I think what's important to get from this session when we look at how you build one of these Visio add-ins is not exactly how to do it, because we're not all Visual Studio developers, right? But for these people that are interested in building these types of solutions, it's good to have an understanding of how easy or complex that is, so that you can you can manage the process a little bit better. I mean, some developer comes back to you and says, oh, well, that's 4 weeks worth of work. Give me a call, because really it is 4 days worth of work. Okay. So let's go and have a look what that looks like, just to give you a bit of a feel. Oh, this is the wrong one, sorry. So, first of all, where are we coming from here? What we have in Visual Studio, when we create a new project, I think it's important for you guys to realize that there's this office thing sitting here. And it's divided up in 2010 and 2007. Let's not talk about 2007 all that much. And there's really two things you can do on a generic level when it comes to extending Office applications. You can do add-ins that are document-based. So they typically only load when you create a document based on a template, for example, that's got the code behind in it. Or you can do it at the level of the application. So you can write an add-in that always shows up when the user starts Word, for example. Right? The sad news for Visio is, because the file format is not the same yet as we have in Word and Excel, is that template add-in is not really available. It is at the application level only for Visio. So it's as simple as that. You just click yes, I want a Visio 2010 add-in, and you're going to get one. It's really that simple. Okay. And then what you can do is, once you have that, you can add stuff to that add-in. And for example, when you say new item, you'll see that that there's lots of stuff in a generic sense. But for Office specific, there's this thing called a ribbon using the Visual Designer. So what that gives you is this. All right? So all you need to do is go to your controls, your ribbon controls, all right? And you drag and drop, You drag and drop stuff on your ribbon control, and you're done, right? That's all you need to do to build a visual, an extra tab in your Visio application. So in this case, there's lots of buttons, and if you double click the button, this is the code that's behind the button. Is that still readable? Yeah. Reasonable. All right, so that's the beauty of this experience. It's you can either use Visual Basic or C#. It's managed code. It's all you can sign it using your company certificate, so it can be safely deployed across the desktops, and nobody can actually change it. So there's no security risks or anything else. So an IT department will feel very comfortable with people writing add-ins in this way, because it's actually managed code. It's not a security risk or anything like that. All right. So it's a really nice way to extend your Office applications. And once you've done that, you click the Publish button. You tell it where to publish. I'll go through a few steps. I'm not going to do it. You click the Publish button, and it will create all the stuff that's needed to install this application on a workstation, either by going through a file share or by publishing it through a website that your company might set up for that. And the interesting thing there is, once you load the add-in in Visio, it will check for updates against that source. Okay, so it's a fully automated process, and it'll give you a new version when you centrally update that version. So if I publish a new version, everybody in the organization who's installed it will get that new version automatically the next time they start Visio. All right? Now that's an excellent process to manage your add-ins. So it's a really good story for your IT department as well. Okay? And the rest is just a normal .NET app, so you can build your forms. Yeah? Just build them and you're done. Easy as that. Sorry. Any questions on that? Good. Am I so clear, or have I lost you already? I'm not gonna go too deep into the code all the time. The other thing I wanted to touch on is, once you've got this add-in, you need to think about how you're going to get to the data, right? Now, a lot of that data will be in your Visio diagram, so there's ways to keep that internally and just query your Visio document for that information or your shapes. But sometimes you need to know, where's that document library, where am I going to store it in SharePoint, those types of things, or create me a new document based on the content type, those types of questions. So that's when you have to query the SharePoint environment. And basically, you've got two options there. Traditionally, we always use the SharePoint Web Services model. A bit of a disadvantage with using the SharePoint Web Services is the fact that, A, there's no async processing. So if you're gonna do a query and it's gonna take a while and return a lots of results, for example, all your documents or something like that, you're gonna sit there and the application is gonna be frozen until that returns. And the other thing is, what it returns is actually XML. So there's extra work there, because you actually have to go and analyze that XML and then put it in the properties that you need in your add-in. So using a web service model is powerful, because it can do everything, but it's also cumbersome and a bit limited. So what Microsoft has done, I'll just quickly flick to that slide, I guess, is the concept of a client object model. It's funny, the first time I saw SharePoint in a little bit of detail was in 2000, and 2001 I got my hands on the real stuff, and as a developer, I wanted to see how I could develop against SharePoint. What was the API like? And all we had was this web service. And I've been involved in multiple projects to create basically a client-side object model that mimics the SharePoint object model, so that we can make the life of the average developer easier, right? It was in the light switch session just now, right? It should be a lot easier, and I kept talking to the SharePoint guys about it, and I'm probably not the only one who made it perfectly clear that the whole web service thing was sort of a band-aid, and what they've done in 2010 is they've come up with this client object model that we can use from Silverlight, from JavaScript, from our VSCO add-in to query SharePoint in a more natural way. So basically, it is that a proxy object model that lives on the client and that you can use. So it's got a web, it's got an application, it's got list items and all those types of things. And it's just much easier to manage. And the other good thing about it, it allows async processing. So it can go off, do its magic, and then it gets an event when the magic's over. So your application can be much more responsive. All right? So that's the preferred way to do it, by the way. Okay, so a little bit of an example. I don't want to go too technical with that, because I don't want to show you some SharePoint stuff as well. But let me just show you the website that I'm querying here, just as a demo. Now, this is a hobby of mine. I actually collect minerals, crystals, for those of you who are more popular term, and I'm getting a bit more serious about it. It's one of those hobbies that sort of gets out of control. So my wife says, "Hey, We've got about, I don't know, 15 cabinets. Cabinets. She goes, why don't you sort of get rid of some of that stuff and just keep the good stuff? So I've come up with this model where I buy stuff, but I buy more than I need, and then I sell that, and basically I try to get as much money as I actually paid for the whole lot, and then keep two or three myself. So it becomes a budget neutral hobby. So here's the SharePoint website that I use for that. Right, this is a piece of Broken Hill history, by the way, stuff that they found many years ago. But you see how that how the messages up there just flick through. That's the asynchronous calls that come through. And that's just a debugging message that I've got in there. So this queries SharePoint for a particular document library and says, okay, how many images have you got in there? Oh, okay, I've got four. Let me load the images for you, and let me get the data for you to display on that left side. Right, that's sort of what happens behind the scenes here. So you need a few variables, but essentially you create a context. Okay, so that's just a link to the website, if you will. And then you go and tell it to load, which basically prepares the statements that need to be executed against the SharePoint environment. And you call this execute query async method, passing in the method that you want called when it's finished, which is the next one down the track here. And that calls on another thread, the begin invoke, which calls the connect lists method, which actually does the work, because it goes and fixes it looks for the lists in the web, and the same thing goes over and over again. This goes gets the list data, et cetera, until we're down to the list items, and all the way down. Eventually we go through a list and we populate some information in our site, in our code, from the list items. So that's a simple pattern that you can use over and over. Query the web, look for the lists, get the list you want, get the items you want, pass in the information. All right? But all asynchronously, so that your application is responsive. I think that's the key thing to take away here. Okay. Quickly show you the backstage view as well. Bit of a disappointment there. I kind of was looking for this visual. Where is it? This visual designer for the backstage view, that doesn't exist. Okay, sorry. So. What you need to do is, and what the visual designer does really is it just creates this bit of XML, right? And if we modify the XML by adding a backstage XML element there, the ones that we've got here, then we create another tab in our UI. See how the tab is called Model Management? So that's in my Visio environment. That's the one sitting over here. See? And when I click it, this is the data that it is displaying. So it's basically defining in XML what this is going to look like, and then writing some code to hook up the controls with the data that you got using that pattern of loading data in an asynchronous way. Right, so that's a high-level overview of what the effort there is. Okay. Now, who does Visio diagrams, publishes them to SharePoint, and connects them to data? Nobody. See, I didn't really expect to show that in much detail, but I think it's. I think it's an important thing to realize. I'm wondering if I've got a a diagram that actually makes sense. I'll just create a new one. Let me just create a diagram. Doesn't really matter which one. This is one of these 2010 features that I really like, where you just go and add your shapes. How cool is that? Right? And if you've forgot one and you need to put one in between, you can just grab one and then see the red dots there. So it identifies a drop target. And when I drop it, it actually adjusts the diagram. That was hard in 2007 because you had to connect it all up again, right? The other way around works as well. So if I hit the delete key, bang, it all lines up and it all connects again, right? Cool stuff. Okay. Linking data to shapes. So what have we got? Basically, what you can do in Visio is you can, and you've always been able to do that. It's just got a little bit more sophisticated. It allows you to create custom properties on the shapes, if you will, right? So these custom properties are available when you right-click a shape, and you go into data, shape data. It'll show you the custom properties. So for this particular template that I just chosen arbitrarily, there's three custom data properties defined: cost, duration, and resources. Right? So remember that. We can add data behind the scenes. Right? Now let me put cost in here and duration, for example. Now the other thing you can do is you can then go into the data and edit the data graphic. So basically, that's a way to visualize that information. So in this case, we can do it as text, for example, as a callout. You can do all kinds of formatting and stuff to make it look funky. Right? So we've got a data visualization there. We can add another one and go, let's do duration, and let's do that against the data bar. That's all right. Okay. So see how the value was 2, so your bar is really small. So let me just change the data. Let me make... because it went from 0 to 100, so 50 should give me a 50% bar. See how that's live, right? So that's, we already know how to get data out of SharePoint. We already know how we can write an add-in that processes that data, and obviously using the Visio object model, you can get to the shapes on your document and edit that data. So there's already a way to do that manually if you want to, and make it understand or integrate with your line of business systems. But there's a better way to do it, and that's this link data to shapes. So we've got lots of options here to all kinds of data sources. So you can link data to an Excel sheet, even to an Excel sheet that's sitting in SharePoint as a published Excel sheet, right? You can link to an Access database, et cetera, et cetera. My favorite one, obviously, is the SharePoint list. So I like to do everything in SharePoint. If you're really looking to integrate with your line of business applications, you can also, using the Office data connections that you typically manage from Excel, because that's got the best UI for that, you can use a previously created connection. So that allows you to connect to your web services, to your SAP backend environment. All that type of stuff is available. All right. So I'll do a SharePoint list here. So this just went out to my server, got a list of the lists that are on my server. For example, I can use the subprocess list. Click finish. So now we've got a data panel here, right? So this gives me the content of the subprocesses list that I've defined in my SharePoint environment, or a list that you've got in your Excel sheet or whatever, right? And what we can do now is we can actually say, ah, oh, this one belongs to that, this one belongs to that, this one belongs to that, etc., etc. And what happens there is the shape data now automatically contains all the columns that we've got in our data source. Okay? So we can now have shape data, we can now have graphical items. If we want to do that, we can do data graphics when we do a new item. We now have all these fields that are in our SharePoint list. See? So modified by, for example, as text. Let's do it as a text callout. Okay. Modified by Ed Richard. All right. And this is now a live connection. So when I publish this diagram into my SharePoint environment, it retains that connection. And every time I refresh my page, it goes to the data and gets the new data. All right. Even better, at the webpart level, on the page where I display my Visio diagram, I can actually set an interval and let it automatically refresh every minute or every 4 minutes or every 10 minutes or every hour or anything like that. All right. There's also automatically link wizard, which allows you to specify ID fields. So if you've set up your shape data to match the names of those columns, it will automatically link as well. Okay. The only thing it doesn't do, I get that question a lot, that's why I sort of preempt this, it doesn't automatically add shapes. Okay. So if there's a new row of data, it'll be unlinked, right? So. Sorry? Yeah. You can do the colors of your shapes based on a value. And those types of things, and it's got heaps of configuration options. Very flexible mechanism. Yeah, so that's the other thing. I'll quickly show you that. Data graphic, new item, cost, color by value, for example, where you can set new expressions. So if the value is that, it's that, and it can be lower than and bigger than, all that type of stuff. Or you can do an icon set. So you can display icons, and those are displayed based on the value that's sitting in your data source. And there's a whole set of icons there. I like the smiley faces, of course. Okay. Looking at the time here, I want to show you some SharePoint stuff. If you want to see more of that Visio stuff, tomorrow morning I'm going to be at the Insights 24 stand at the Microsoft section in the middle. So feel free to come and see me. Okay. So what does that all look like? First of all, I wanted to show you this one quickly. We talked about how that process hierarchy would be visualized, and I've given that a bit of thought. And I like to invite people to use to explore what you have to offer in your process hierarchy. So in Silverlight, you can create a nice component that basically visualizes that level zero of your diagram, of your network, of your process hierarchy, and then you can do funky stuff like this. All right, it should go back. Yeah. How cool is that? Now, the reason I'm showing that is, first of all, this is the bestseller, right? When I do my project pitches, I always do one of these, and I put their logo up there, and it's pretty much a done deal because they all want it, right? But the most important thing to understand and to take away from this is it only takes a day or so to build this. Apart from maybe if you want to have special pictures designed or anything like that, but it really is that easy with Blend and Silverlight and using that same pattern of code to grab those names out of your SharePoint environment and put them in your Silverlight component. So it really is. The guy who's done this in my office, this is his third one. It took him like 2 hours, right? And the first one took about a day. So, you know, it's powerful stuff to keep in mind. And it really works because it sells your solution. Here's a little sample of navigation. See, this is how the visual object model works, by the way. So you've got your application, you've got your documents, your page, and your shapes. But what you can do with web parts is actually say, okay, I want to display a visual diagram on a web part page, but I actually want to use two separate web parts and link them up, so that when I click on a shape, I know the name of the shape. And I can display the page that is relevant to that particular shape. So this is my shape page, and this is my page. My pages page, and this is my document page. Let me just open that diagram in Visio so that you can have a look. It doesn't take too long. So that's another feature that we've got now that we've stored everything in SharePoint. In that web part, there's just this button there, open in Visio. And, oh yeah, you want to edit it? Obviously, you have to think about how you set up your security in SharePoint. But it is that easy, and it provides, again, that integrated experience, if you're lucky. I don't know what's happening here, to be honest. Good, not all the demo gods work. Interesting. I'll just open another one so you can see. See, it actually does work. Okay. So interaction between web parts, right? And the one that's particularly interesting, I think, is doing stuff like this and bringing it all into context. So I know this is a simple example, and I know it's a simple diagram, and it doesn't look good, but what it does is it shows the one-to-many relationship between those two diagrams, in the sense of there's the high-level diagram and the more detailed diagram, and when you click one of these shapes, it shows the detailed information, but it also shows information out of a SharePoint list. And this information is just some HTML content that I've stored in that list. And the only thing that list knows is, okay, I need to show this field based on the process step ID that I've added as shape data in these shapes. Okay? And it's very simple to build this type of stuff. You know, you go into page, you go edit page, you add your web parts. So just to show you how to display a Visio web part, I'll just grab on here. It's sitting on the business data Visio web access. You add a web part. Bang, there it is. You open the tool pane. And then you select the Visio diagram that you want to display. Okay, so I don't know, let me just I'm just grabbing one and I don't know what I'm gonna get, but okay. Here's where you configure everything. So you can set that automatic refresh, for example. You can decide what you want to show on the toolbar. You can decide how big it's going to be, or have it dynamic, all those types of things. And bang, there's your Visio diagram. In this case, with most of the toolbar options available. This one's got two pages, so you navigate the pages as well. There's one prerequisite. It's not just an ordinary Visio diagram. It is a Visio diagram that is saved as a VDW file. Okay, so in your save as into SharePoint, you need to be aware that you save it as a web page. It's not really a web page. It's a VDW file, which contains the information that SharePoint Visio Services needs to render this diagram in the context of a browser. What you actually see here is XAML. Okay, and that's what provides the interactivity, which is quite interesting for those of you who are developers. Give you a bit of context here. Just go. Functionality restrictions. In what sense? The only thing that I found disappointing is it doesn't actually do anything with layers. And a lot of people in Visio use layers to manage, for example, what displays on screen versus on print and those types of things. There's no support for layers in the web part, so it'll render everything. That's basically it. The other one I wanted to show you is this one, and that's the example of the power of XAML. So this is a Visio diagram that's sitting on a WebPart page, but I've also added another WebPart here. Yeah, a content editor WebPart. And the content editor WebPart, obviously you can set that to invisible so nobody sees it, but the content editor WebPart actually points to a JavaScript file. So that means there's now JavaScript functions available on this WebPart page. And what this JavaScript file in this case does is it hooks up to the Visio API, the client-side API that we have available, and it hooks up some events. And in this case, I've chosen to look for the mouse enter and the mouse leave event. So when I drag my mouse over this shape, I actually get a message here that says ready. And if I drag my mouse away from the shape, it removes that message. And if I drag my mouse over this one, it goes status not found. Now, what it does there is it actually queries the shape for its data, the shape data that we've just seen in Visio, and then displays the value of that data coming out of your Visio diagram. So it's a trivial message, ready and status not found, but you can do tooltips, you can do anything you like there. Right, just by doing XAML overlays using JavaScript. Okay. Very powerful stuff. Okay, well, let me wrap up. So this is, for example, a bit of JavaScript code that sits in that framework. The frameworks, whenever you look for the Meshup API or the Visio client side API, you'll find examples of that bit of JavaScript, or others just email me, I'll send you a copy. Right? But the meat of it is actually going through the shape.shape data and then finding the values of the, in this case I'm looking for the property called status. So I'm looking for that data item called status and I'm displaying the value there. Right? And the code down there is just creating a bit of XAML and says now display this XAML relative to this shape. And because it's XAML, the sky's the limit. We've been experimenting with menus and buttons and all kinds of funky stuff. Yeah? Yep. Yep.
How are you doing that?
Yeah. Okay. Good question. Good question. So that one here. If we go into edit mode, what we have here in any SharePoint WebPart page is, if we're using WebPart that understands connections, and Visio Access WebPart does that, we can go to the connections, and then we have these options available. Send data to, for example, or get web drawing URL and page name. So in this case, from this perspective, I'm sending data to that second web part, right? Or if I was to look at the second web part, that one's got a connection now because it says get web drawing URL from web part number one, right? And that's a little wizard, a little pop-up. Make sure you're in an Internet Explorer environment that trusts your site so you actually get the pop-up. That one got me for a while. And basically it just allows you to pick a field that you've got on your shape data and link that to either the URL or the page name. Right? In this case I fixed the URL. I said always show this diagram and just navigate to the right page. Right? Now, which fields you've got available here? Normally you've got shape ID, shape name, web drawing URL and page name. Those are the ones that are standard. This one, page nav, I've just added. So on my web part properties, when you know the name of your shape data items in your diagram, you can specify these here with separated by commas. So any data that you've got sitting there, you can expose through that connection framework. And I strongly suggest you do that, not use the internal ones, because the internal ones have funky behavior every now and then, whereas the ones that you create, you know their string values and you know what they're like, so you get the expected behavior, right? Okay. Another gotcha there in the WebPart pages is when I tried this early on in SharePoint 2010, I was quite excited by the fact that we now have wiki pages, so you're not really restricted to the layout of your pages anymore, and the wiki pages can have WebParts in them in any way, shape or form, in the middle and whatever you like. So it becomes this transparent design surface, if you will. The problem with that is the connections don't work. So you need a WebPart page, a SharePoint WebPart page, for these connections to work. Okay? The other thing I mentioned was you can set a hyperlink on a shape. You can do that in Visio. You can set a hyperlink to navigate to somewhere else, another WebPart page, for example, or a form or something like that. You have to make a choice. Either you use hyperlinks in your diagram or you use this selection mechanism and connected web parts. You can't have both. Okay? So, at this stage in the current version.
So that means you can have Visio services.
You can, but you can't use connected web parts. That's the only restriction. Yes. Okay, and the last thing I wanted to, I'm not going to demo this one, we ran out of time. The last thing I wanted you to consider is, you know how in Visio you can do file new and you can pick all of these templates. You really want them to pick from your enterprise templates because they've got the shapes with the shape data that you need and all that type of stuff. And typically when you're dealing with templates, with Office templates, not just for Visio, but also for Word and everything else, store these things in SharePoint. Right? That's why we've got SharePoint. It's a very underutilized feature in SharePoint, I think. So basically, you set up a content type in SharePoint, link that content type to your document library, and when you go to your Documents tab and click down that New button, your templates can show up here, right? And when I click the TagEd template, I actually get the TagEd template in my Visio environment. And when I save, it saves straight to that SharePoint document library as well. So there's no stray copies of these things on local users' machines and those types of things. That's just unnecessary. So two things here. Make sure your templates are content types sitting in SharePoint, and teach your users to go to SharePoint and start from there. Okay. If that last thing is the only thing you get out of this session, I'm happy. Any other questions? No more questions? Good. Come see me tomorrow morning if you had a sleepover, and enjoy the party tonight.